Today on The Journey.
Jesus took on temptation at its fullest force, never gave in. And so when we go to Him, He knows exactly how we feel, and He's that high priest who can do something about it.
There is a fortress to which Christian soldiers can flee when the slings and arrows of temptation are overwhelming them. It's a place of rest and renewal. It's a place where battles are won. In this broadcast, Ron Moore and men's minister Tun Jilkin offer directions to that stronghold and encouragement from the one who always leads us in triumph. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here are Ron and Tunch to review the temptations of Christ and their meaning for us in part two of Winning the Battle, Winning the War, On the Journey.
Welcome to a special edition of The Journey. We've looked at who Satan is from a biblical theological framework. We have seen how Satan tempted Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look today at how Jesus was tempted by Satan. Man, there's a lot to learn in this back and forth between Satan and Jesus. Let me set the context. In Luke chapter 3, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. So Jesus, right after he's baptized, the Holy Spirit leads him into the desert where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end he was hungry. And then Satan comes at him with these temptations. Luke chapter 4, verse 3, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of Man, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answers by Scripture, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone."
To think about what Jesus' physical needs were at that point, and obviously he's God, but he's also, at this point in his humanity, he feels the very, very real hunger pangs. And knowing that in his deity he could do this, to separate his own desires to fill the need. I mean, it's not like you and I missing a meal. It's 40 days. And to be able to respond in kind.
So the second temptation, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you just come and worship me, it'll all be yours." And Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." So let's think through this temptation. First of all, Satan is right in one thing. He is the prince of the world, right? And he is not sovereign, but he takes Jesus to this place. And Jesus came to save the world, right? He came to die for the sins of the world. And here Satan is offering Jesus a shortcut without the cross. So if you just bow before me and you serve me alone, then I'm going to give you what you came for, but you don't have to go through the cross. Satan is always pointing us to the things that God may have for us, but a shortcut to get there.
And he knows where we're vulnerable, and he knows human nature. And we do desire shortcuts. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, it was a shortcut to school. But it is human nature to take the shortcut. It is human nature to want an easier path. My flesh craves ease. And so sometimes that shows up in integrity issues. And so that's why I've got to be conscious that if it looks too good to be true, chances are it's too good to be true.
Too good to be true.
Yeah.
Jesus here quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. And that's a place where Moses had warned the people about their attitude when they finally got into the promised land. They're in the promised land, and Moses knew when they got into the promised land, there would be a temptation to forget God and to praise themselves. And so he said, "It is written, make sure wherever you are, you worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, Jesus goes right back to the Word and says, here's the deal. You've got to make certain that you're following the Lord, you're worshiping him, you're serving him only, and you cannot take shortcuts in the worship of God.
Well, and here's the reality. You get with a bunch of guys, and a lot of times they'll say, well, yeah, do it that way. You're going to save yourself time, you're going to save yourself money, whatever you're going to save, you're going to save yourself something. Mm-hmm. And because we can easily be seduced by this lie of the shortcut, we need to make sure that we are following God's way in how we do this. And how does this look in the light of day? In other words, in the light of the scriptures, how do my actions today, whether work, home, on a golf course. I don't even play golf. I don't know why I use that analogy. But say if I was a golfer.
Golfers are always an easy shot.
They're an easy target. But how does this look in the light of the scriptures, in the light of what God has for me?
Satan comes at Jesus a third time. And this time, in verse 8 of Luke chapter 5, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And Satan tells him, if you are the Son of God, again, questioning Jesus' integrity, if you are the Son of God, then he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, Psalm 91, Satan likes to quote scripture as well, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in his hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, Satan likes to always take it out of context.
Right.
But he's masquerading as an angel of light, so here's the scripture. And, you know, think about it. Jesus would stand at the highest point of the temple. No doubt a crowd would gather. He would jump down to certain death, but right at the last moment, he would be saved. And everyone would say, whoa, he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
We're going to follow him. He would have acceptance without going to the cross. That's what Satan is trying to get Jesus to do. Don't go to the cross, because he knows there he's going to put to death death itself. Acceptance, according to Satan's plan and his timing, but not God's. So Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus answered, it says, you want to quote scripture? Here's what it says. Yeah. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. That actually comes from a time in Deuteronomy 6, 16, when the Israelites had wondered whether God was really with them.
Yeah.
And Moses assured them that he was. Don't put God to the test. Think about all the promises he's given us. Think about all the times he's delivered. He's with us now. You can be confident, just like he was with you in the past. He's going to be with you in the future. He's with you in the present. Don't put him to the test. And that's the passage that Jesus used to go back against Satan during this time.
And I think, Ron, that's why it is so important for us to have a history with God. Now, we're sitting here, and you were laughing because I'm tearing up my Bible. I got this thing rebound, but part of me wanted to get a new Bible. This is an old one. It's just got my notes in it, and there's a history here. And so it reminds me that God is faithful. It reminds me of all these promises that God has made and times that God has delivered. And I have these little notes and dates, and would God answer this prayer here? And when we have a history of God, we look back upon God, like Moses told the Israelites, remember his promises, remember when he's come through. And same thing for us. And I hope I can get these pages back in because I'm losing some. So I think that's what's so important, that we remember and we write it down, whether it's through journaling, maybe it's in our Bible, but that we remember when God answered.
Psalm 78 is a review of God's history all the way up to David. There are other times when the psalmist says, remember what God has done, and then we'll say, he led them across the Red Sea. He delivered them from the Egyptians. So many times where God says, don't forget what I've done, because he's a God who doesn't change, right?
Right.
Same yesterday, today, and forever. So if this is what he did in the past, this is what he does and can do in the future. And so what you say is so true. If you jot those things down in your Bible, if you journal them, put them down, keep them as family memories.
Yeah.
So we can say, you know what? Remember that time when God did this. Remember when God answered our prayer. And those are the things we need to rehearse. Not that we live in the past.
Right.
But the past becomes then a solid foundation for us to live in the present and move on to the future.
You know, Ron, it might not even be when God answered us in the way we wanted,
right?
But God's comfort was at that time. and God's grace and his mercy was at that time. So the outcome might not have been what I wanted, but I can see in the scriptures where God's presence was felt, mm-hmm. where God's grace was like that soothing ointment that poured out over us. It might have been a painful situation, but God's grace truly was sufficient.
Mm-hmm. My dad died when I was 19 years old. We found out he had cancer in March, and he was gone by August. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the night before his memorial service. I was with Lori, who I was dating her at that time, now my wife. And going through that, I remember telling Lori, I have never felt closer to the Lord than I do right now. I mean, there was an overwhelming feeling of God's presence. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't always live in that situation. You move on with your life. But for me, that's one of those defining moments. I wasn't just reading about God's presence in Scripture. I was truly feeling God's presence. Mm-hmm. It was like he was wrapping his arms around me. Mm-hmm. He didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted him to, mm-hmm. but I knew he was there. And sometimes we learn more about him when he's carrying us through those difficult times than when we get what we want.
Yeah, it's a feeling of his presence in real time. When my first wife, Sharon, passed, and we were going through the ups and downs of cancer, mm-hmm. you know, 8 years of it. And at the very, very end, I was in the hospital, and I'm out in the hallway, and I'm looking out the windows, the sun's coming up, and I'm praying, and I'm reading the scriptures. At that moment, I said, Lord, you got to give me something, because I'm not feeling it now. I'm broken, and I just don't have the energy. And at that moment, I heard the nurse that was taking care of Sharon in the hospital room singing a praise song, and talking to Sharon as she was cleaning up and just talking about God's love to her and, oh, honey, Jesus loves you and you are precious in his sight and you are dearly loved. And I hear this voice and it's almost angelic and she's kind of singing, kind of talking, kind of singing. And as she came out into the hallway, I was just so comforted. And I told her, I said, you know, you are an answer to prayer today. And, you know, I told her what was going on. And she was just so blessed. It was just a clear example of God's grace giving me what I needed for that day.
Hmm. He will give us exactly what we need for that day.
Yeah.
Doesn't give us a month at a time.
No, no.
So if you're going through a challenging time, turn to him, and God will give you exactly what you need to do what he's calling you to do for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to have enough trouble of its own. But right now, today, God will give you what you need to get through the situation you're in. And then tomorrow, you know what? You have a day of history where you can say, hey, Lord, just like you did yesterday, mm-hmm. will you do that for me again today? And he'll provide exactly what you need to do what he's calling you to do. Well, we see Satan coming at Christ hard. He tempts him with turning stones into bread. When Jesus is famished after 40 days of fasting, he hits him at his weakest point. He offers him all the kingdoms of the world. He tells him to stand at the temple and throw himself down, and then he quotes scripture saying that the angels will catch him. And every time Jesus comes back and says, it is written,
yeah.
I'm not going to believe the lie of Satan. I'm going to believe the truth of the living God. So Satan is always going to come at us to hit us at our weakest moment, mm-hmm. and he's always going to offer a shortcut to the things that we really want in life, but not God's route, his route, and it's always going to end up in a disastrous, devastating place.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest prayers to pray is, your will, Lord, not mine. Mm. Because my will wants ease, my flesh wants to be pain-free. And the reality of it is, maybe God does not have that in mind for me, mm-hmm. especially on this day.
Let's wrap this up by turning to Hebrews chapter 4. There, the writer of the Hebrews tells us about Jesus's intercession for us and how he works in our lives. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 and 15. Let me read it, and then let's talk about this. The writer says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Whatever we are going through, we're either going to be tempted by the world, we're going to be tempted by the flesh, we're going to be tempted by the devil himself. Mm-hmm. When we do that, we have one, Jesus Christ, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet never sinned. Jesus took on temptation at its fullest force,
right.
Never gave in. And so when we go to him, he's not one who says, hey, I think I might know how you feel. He knows exactly how we feel, and he's that high priest who can do something about it.
Yeah, and the beauty of knowing that, Ron, whenever we say, you don't understand, Lord, but Lord, right. It's too tough, but Lord, this is very hard, but Lord, God knows.
Yeah.
There is nothing that we can experience in this life, whether in pain or temptation, that he hasn't experienced for us and on behalf of the world. So the intensity that he would feel, it would be that much more. So I love the way the author of Hebrews put this, that Jesus understands.
Whatever you're going through, whatever the situation, however deep the pain, however dark your night is, Jesus understands. And here's the beautiful invitation from God himself, written by this writer to the Hebrews. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Mm. God's there to give us, his grace gives us everything we need. Mm. And we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. I love that. Doubt and fear and falling to temptation shakes us to the core. It causes us to doubt. It causes us to lose our confidence.
Right.
And here, the writer says, don't do that. Approach the throne of grace with confidence. Here's why. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And we find both there, right at God's throne. And it's right there to help us in our time of need. And we're all going to have those times.
Yeah. When we really come to grips of what Hebrews is saying, I mean, that is awesome that we could come to the throne of grace boldly and have grace and mercy, that God would be merciful and gracious to us. That never ceases to amaze me. In my brokenness, that I come, and yet God says, Tunch, I'm here, come.
You know, I'm convicted by that as I read it, and I think about how many times when I'm in whatever situation that I don't want to be in, or something's not headed the direction I think it should head in my life, you know, I can start complaining about it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I can complain about it to God. I can start feeling sorry for myself. And God says, yeah, just suck it up.
Yeah, suck it up. Be a man.
Be a man. Come on.
No, another beauty.
Think about what I've done for you.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Think about what I've done for you. And I sent my son not only to die for you on the cross, and you have a relationship with me through him, but he knows exactly how you're feeling. He's had every temptation known to every human being, and yet he was without sin. So come.
Yeah.
Come to the throne. Come and tell me how you're feeling. And again, the psalmist related to this, and he didn't always come and say, hey, Lord, I really appreciate everything you're doing in my life. Sometimes he said, what's going on here?
Right.
But that's the beauty, isn't it? We can come with confidence, knowing that we can share anything with God, even our frustrations. And he's there with grace and mercy to help us in our time of need.
It's an unbelievable truth that God did not hold anything back. Gave it all. There's no more to give than what God gave.
Everything in him is complete. Yeah. You know, we've been talking about engaging in the battle and making certain that we have the right armor on. We've been talking about the different terrains, the world coming at us, and our own sinful nature coming at us, and the devil coming at us. But you know, Tunch, this battle starts with one person, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the fact of the matter is that all of us are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. On our best day, with our best effort, we cannot earn a relationship with the living God. And that's where we have to start, isn't it? We have to realize that we can't win this battle on our own. We are sinners to the core, and we need Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is we have the one that has power over all, and he is available to all of us. And then the question is, do I cling to him? Do I come before the throne of grace? Do I cry out to the only one that can save me, to the only one that can meet my needs, to the only one that can encourage my heart?
Mm-hmm. When King David was going out to battle, what did he do? He always called in the prophet of God and said, are we going to win or not?
Yeah.
Because if we're not going to win, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go. Mm. And I think that's a picture of life. They had to go out and fight the battle.
Right.
And there was blood, and there was some tough sweat, and there was some tough fighting that went on. But they went in the battle knowing that God was going to give them victory. Yeah. And that's the way we live our life. Whatever battle we're facing, at the end of the day, we win.
Amen to that.
We win. We want to thank you for joining us in this series we've called Engaging in the Battle. We would love to pray for you. You can email us. You can write in. It's a privilege to join you wherever you are listening to what we have to say regarding God's Word. But we'd love to fight the battle with you.
Yeah.
And love to join you in prayer. So send in your request. And we want you to know that you're not alone in the battle. It's Jesus Christ who is the one who walks with you every day. And you know what? The battle belongs to him. And he will always be victorious.
Amen.
Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the fact that you are the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord, that we can see in your word and in our lives that you are a God who enters into history, and you're a God who works in this world, and you're a God who works in our life. And we can look back in times in our life where we can say, that was something that God did. He delivered us. He carried us through a tough time. He allowed us to have victory in a particular temptation or a particular battle in our life. And Father, knowing what you've done in the past, I pray that would give us confidence as we move forward in the future. Father, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that Jesus Christ, the one who lives to intercede for us, is there at the throne. And he has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. When the devil comes at us, Lord, help us to enter into your presence, enter into your throne of grace, and get that help we have to have in our time of need. Thank you for our time in this series. Thank you for Tunch and his ministry. And Father, we pray that you would continue to bless him as he ministers to men around this country. Thank you, Father, that you are God who always gives us victory in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an important upcoming event.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, I want to invite you to join us in person this summer for our Relevant Faith Apologetic Series at one of our campuses in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, or at our Wilkinsburg campus. If you live outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join our online campus on Sundays via our website, our app, or our Facebook page. This series runs August 10th and 11th through the weekend of September 14th and 15th, and it tackles some of the most important questions facing our culture today. Questions like, is there absolute truth? Is the Bible reliable? The person of Jesus Christ and the significance of the church. So visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. You can get more information there about this series. And our prayer is that through this engaging series, God would draw unbelievers into a relationship with Jesus Christ and equip believers to defend their faith and stand for Christ in their schools, in their workplaces, and communities. We'll see you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that The Journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.